Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you wherever you are in the world. And you know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of the great forever family. You're part of His family. And what a wonderful family to be in, because He is our Father, and He is the one that loves us, and He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that died for our sins and was punished in our place so that we can meet God with great joy. And every saved person that has trusted in Christ will meet the Lord with joy. And the Bible says He will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that also will do it. It's going to be His faithfulness that makes us sure that we're going to get in. But we're going to give some of the words of Jesus today and how they relate to the Bible. And the Bible tells us where the true Word of God is, where the true text of the Bible is. And so we're going to see what Jesus says about the true Word of God and how to find it. But first we have the great report on science in the Bible from Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And just want to mention a couple of things here, too, before we get into that. Just a reminder that you can find out more about Bruce Musselman and the program, listen to past programs, by going to the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find more things there, as well as some other things by Bruce on church history, Bible history. And also, there's a notice on the website at whereisgodsword.com that Bruce Musselman is going to be speaking at the Westlake Baptist Church. And he is at the Westlake Baptist Church. He's been there on Sunday night, July the 3rd, but he's also going to be there Sunday night, July the 10th, and Sunday night, July the 17th. So if you missed on the 3rd, you can still hear Bruce Musselman at the Westlake Baptist Church on July 10th and July 17th. That's during the Sunday evening services at 6 p.m. You can find out more by calling Paul Mails. That's the pastor there, Paul Mails, at 440-366-0668. That's 440-366-0668. And the Westlake Baptist Church meets at the Westlake City Recreation Center on Hilliard Boulevard in Westlake. I believe the address is 28955 Hilliard Boulevard. That's 28955 Hilliard Boulevard in Westlake, Ohio, at the Westlake City Recreation Center. And so you can go to westlake-baptist.com. That's westlake-baptist.com. Also, for more information, or just check out Bruce's website at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to mention something here today as we're looking at a couple of things, talking about science in the Word of God. And if we go to the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 102, I'm going to start here in verse number 1, Psalm 102, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end." And what he's saying here in Psalm 102, in this passage here, especially in verse number 26, where he talks about the earth and the heavens, he says, "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment." And this is interesting, because the Bible talks about something that science determined called the second law of thermodynamics. And the second law of thermodynamics basically follows the first law, which says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And so energy always remains the same, but the type of energy changes. And that's where the second law of thermodynamics comes in. And that's that energy is always transformed from a more ordered state to a less ordered state, a tendency, what we call this entropy. And to make this easy to understand, if you go away and you leave your house closed up for the summer, when you come back, would your house be cleaner than when you left? Or would it be dirtier? When you come in, it's going to have dust and dirt that's accumulated during the time that you were gone. Here's another way that any parent can understand. Do your kids' rooms go from disorder to order, or do they go from order to disorder if you don't do anything? How many people's kids, if you don't say anything, they just automatically get up in the morning and they tidy up their room, and periodically throughout the day, they go in and they clean it up and they make sure everything's in its place. No, you have to actively keep on them to get them to clean the room, don't you? Because it becomes more disordered as the day goes by. And that's a good idea of entropy, going from order to disorder. And as a result, scientists say that the universe is running down, basically. All the stars eventually will become cold one day. They believe there's various ways that the universe might end. This is apart from what the Bible says. But the most favored is that the universe will eventually become a cold, dark place where all the matter and energy has become, in the most disorganized fashion possible, dispersed so far that it can't affect anything else. And it just goes into the big nothingness. The big chill, they call that. And this, though, also reflects something that we just read right here in Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old, thou hast led, or 102, starting verse 25, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands, had a beginning. And that's what science says, the world had a beginning, only it was God that was the beginning, not a nothingness. It was a someone called God. And it says, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. The heavens are going to perish, but God will endure because he's outside of the universe. And he says, all of them shall wax old like a garment. Well, what happens to our clothes? They wear out, don't they? You have to get holes fixed. And eventually, what do? They get so worn, you have to get a new coat. You have to get a new shirt. You have to get a new garment. And that, guess what it says right here? They shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture, that's clothing, shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Left to itself, the world is going to run down, and that's why the Bible says in Isaiah 34:4, and the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Everything is going from order to disorder. Entropy increases. He says again in Isaiah 51:6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall wax, or shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But there's hope in the midst of this increasing entropy, something that the second law of thermodynamics doesn't allow, but God does. He says, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. It continues in Isaiah chapter 66, 65 and verse 17. God says, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. In chapter 66 and verse 22, he says, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. This new heaven and this new earth is going to replace the current heavens and earth that Jesus himself in Luke 21:33 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a type that'll be able to survive for all eternity. The current heaven and the current earth can't do that. That's why Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7, said, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." He continues down verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth." And of course, that's what he said in Revelation 21, verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." This is where the redeemed of the ages are going to dwell, in a new heaven and a new earth that won't be subject to the second law of thermodynamics. It won't be gradually getting less and less orderly, more and more entropy, like the current heavens and the current earth. And I think that might even have to do with sin in the world. God created the world to continue to exist forever originally, but sin came into the world. And so we can see all of that reflected in Psalm 102, where he talks about the heavens passing away like a garment and being changed into a new heaven and a new earth where we can dwell forever with the God that saves us.
Well, thank you very much for that report. I think I'm getting a little entropy here in my throat. I'm getting that cough. I hope I can get through this. But thank the Lord. Jesus says in the Bible, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And so Jesus said that his words are true, they're pure, sanctify them through thy word is truth. But the entropy has taken place in many Greek departments, and they are in a bad state of entropy today. And this is reflected sometimes on radio and television when you hear preachers out of the Greek departments. And for years I've been studying this, the last 30 years, and you know, I'm not saying that you should take my words for it, but it's a good source of where you can get resources to study this thing. And we mentioned this New Age Bible versions. You don't have to take everything she said in that particular book, but just it's a good source to begin your own study on it. And Hazardous Materials, another a fantastic source. You could look at it on the internet. But I had Hazardous Materials, and one college president, when he read that book, Hazardous Materials, he decided to dump the Greek department in his college. And I would say that the Greek departments that are training preachers are very corrupt. First of all, they're using all kinds of Greek texts that are constantly changing. Secondly, they're using lexicons that are made by unsaved people. Like Thayer, for instance, is a Unitarian. And many of these guys, you use Strong's Concordance, but as we mentioned many times on here, and he's just typical of so much of it, the corruption in these Greek departments, he put out a statement he was on a committee, puts out a statement on the ASV of 1901, and that statement states that the worship of Jesus by the blind man's worship of the creature, not the creator. I mean, they make their statement. They're not even saved people. Because you have to, if you don't believe Jesus is God, you'll never make heaven, that's for sure. And the Bible teaches that all the way through. You know, I think I should just mention a verse while we make this statement, in case some of you are not sure about that. But here's a verse, for instance, 1 John 5:20, and there's many, many verses that state this. "We know the Son of God hath come," that's Jesus, "and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God." Now, I don't know how you can get any clearer than that. Do you know, preacher, could you state it any clearer than that?
Well, that is kind of an ambiguous statement. This is the... That's pretty direct.
Yeah. And unto the sun he saith, thy throne, O God. And we can just go on and on. Direct statements. The JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that, see? And yet they have deceived their people into thinking they actually believe the Bible. Now, the JWs, they use the Pope's Vatican Bible. And where does that come from? And this is the source of the corruption. About the 18th century, they found out a Bible in good shape, or a counterfeit Bible, and it was put out by Constantine. In fact, they found two of them, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and it's agreed by all sides of the issue that Constantine put out these Bibles. Well, the guy that he had put out was a guy named Eusebius of Caesarea, who took over the seminary of Origen. Now, Origen actually put a revision of the scripture out and changed it into classical Greek. You know, common Greek is what the New Testament was written in. Common Greek's like, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Classical Greek. Propel, propel, propel your craft placidly down the liquid solution. Ecstatically, 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 existence but a delusion. See, sort of classical Greek. Well, he wanted to make his Greek acceptable to the philosophers in Alexandria, so he put out a revision. And this revision, the words and thoughts were changed subtly. And when he got done, there's plenty of changes made. And so later on, the councils rejected Origen. Unfortunately, Jerome was a follower of Origen, but later on, Jerome grew cold towards him also. But he put out the Vulgate based on Origen's changes of the words. Now, right away, the Bible speaks on this issue. Unfortunately, the Greek departments apparently don't know enough of their Bible to even discuss it from a biblical standpoint. The Bible says we speak not in the words of man's wisdom. Classical Greek is man's philosophy. Wisdom is philosophos, comes from two words, philosophistry, wisdom. That's man's wisdom, or philosophy comes from those two words. Now, God says we don't speak in the words of man's wisdom. Origins, corruptions were man's wisdom. And the modern versions are based on Origins Bibles that have been promoted, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And Eusebius of Caesarea, who wrote a flattering book on Constantine, was asked by Constantine to put these corrupt Bibles out. Now, Constantine's idea was to amalgamate Christianity and the pagan religion so they could have one universal religion in the Roman Empire. And so changes were made in these two corrupt Bibles. And at first, when they found them, since they were in good shape, they were very expensive, made on vellum and made with capital block letters and so on. So all sides agree that these Bibles came from Constantine. And there's not a debate over that subject. But they're corrupt, and they disagree with each other in 3,000 words. And the papacy has been promoting these Bibles for years, particularly the Vatican Bible. Interestingly enough, in the 19th century, at first the Pope didn't let people look at it, although when the Textus Receptus was published and the King James translators, they had notes on this Bible, Vatican Bible, that they could have used, although basically they had a hard time. The Pope didn't want people to see it. But in 1900, he put out copies of this. He photographed this. Interestingly enough, the photographs that he made of Vatican Bible didn't even agree with one another. Now, of course, he wouldn't have been messing with it. You know, well, I think he did, because if you have photographs of the same thing and they don't agree, once again, and I mean the photographs of Vatican Bible didn't agree with each other. So somebody has been messing around with it. And that was what we say. God has told us not to go down to Egypt, that he has always warned against Egypt. And so the Vatican and Sinaiticus come from the Alexandrian text from Alexandrian Egypt. And God has warned against Egypt. So all we got to do is go by the Bible. Now, the true text comes from Antioch of Syria. Well, what was Antioch? That's the place where they first called people Christians, and that's the church that Paul went out from, was Antioch of Syria. They sent him out. Now, let's read the words of Jesus here. We only have a few minutes left. I hope I can get to it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, Jesus is the door. Somebody says, Peter got the keys. Well, Jesus is the door, so we'll go through the door. But climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He knows our name. Isn't that wonderful? But it says the sheep hear his voice. We could go back and look at the true word of God, the true text. The Holy Spirit has given the voice of Jesus to his sheep down through the ages. We could go to Nestorius, who's preached the word of God, and the missionaries of this Nestorians went all the way to China and were preaching all over China by 700. And they had the Syriac Peshitta text, which is the text that lines up with the Authorized King James Bible. And they heard the voice of Jesus in that text. And then you have the Italic text, the old Latin that came out long before Jerome, the Latin Bible. And people heard the voice of Jesus in that text, which also is a source of the King James Bible. And then that text was translated by Peter Waldo into French, and they heard the voice of Jesus in that text, and it was preached all over Europe, and millions had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ long before the Protestant Reformation. And a Baptist pastor named Peter Lollard went to England, and he preached in England, and Wycliffe joined the group of Lollards. It came from the teaching of Baptist pastor Peter Lollard, and they heard the voice of Jesus, and they had the true text. And then Tyndale heard the voice of Jesus, and then Erasmus heard the voice of Jesus, and he printed the received text that had come down to us, and it was the Koine Greek text, which was the voice of Jesus. And out of this, the King James translators, using the Koine Greek text, the Syriac Peshitta text, the Italics text, this is what they based it on. And they heard the voice of Jesus in the Authorized King James Bible. And then you have Whitfield coming to the United States. And he heard the voice of Jesus, he bringing a King James Bible over. And he began to preach in Georgia and preach his way up over the coast. And literally thousands of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it began almost a continuous state of revival after that. And then Finney heard the voice of Jesus in the King James. And he says, I never believed that I should correct it. He never felt qualified to correct it. Talmage, the famous preacher, said that the King James Bible was a perfect translation. He had heard the voice of Jesus. D.L. Moody heard the voice of Jesus in the King James and started Moody Bible Institute on the King James Bible alone. And then Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher that influenced all of England, heard the voice of Jesus in the King James Bible, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And he said the correctors of the King James were popelings. They made themselves out to be a pope. They thought they were qualified to sit in judgment on the King James, which he believed was the voice of Jesus, the Word of God. And so Billy Sunday believed it was the Word of God. He said scholars that correct, they can go plumb to the devil. He went to New York City with the voice of Jesus, and hundreds of thousands of people followed after that, the voice of Jesus. And when Billy Sunday went to New York City, he had over 123,000 people born again and saved. They heard the voice of Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger will they not follow. And so the RSV came out. They dumped that. The NIV came out. They're dumping that. New ASV, they're getting rid of that. The ASV, they're getting rid of that. And so on. A stranger will they not follow. And the King James renews itself because God's people hear his voice. We got God's word today. We can look at the perfect law of liberty in the authorized King James Bible.
Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman? If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.